What would you say are your top priorities in life? If you were to make a list, what would you write down as the most important things to you? Maybe your family, your friends, your faith, being physically and mentally healthy, maybe accomplishing your career goals or achieving financial security, or simply just doing what makes you happy. What would you say are the priorities of your life? Now imagine for a moment that somebody was to observe you on a typical day. They were to analyze the choices that you make, how you spend your time, what you think about, and what you talk about. What would those things reveal about your actual priorities? See, often what we say is important to us in life is not always backed up with our regular routine and daily habits. There can be a gap between what we want our life to be and what it actually is. So, for example, if you made any New Year's resolutions, this week is likely when you will start to drop out of them. Research shows that most people can keep their resolutions for about 2 weeks, but after that, there is a steady drop-off, and by February, most people have given them up. People say this is important, but the reality is never quite the same. So many people start off the new year saying, I'm going to prioritize exercising more this year, or I'm going to make this the year of healthy eating. And the year might start off that way, but soon the daily reality does not match up to those expectations. We find it difficult to keep the important things as the important things in life. We are so easily distracted. And one of the main roadblocks to following our priorities is that we are too busy. So we end up saying things like, I wanted to exercise this week, but I just got too busy. Or I've no time to pray today because I've got too much to do. Or I can't meet that friend this week, I've got no time. Busyness is an enemy to living our true priorities. And it makes us spend time on the things that are less important. Last week, we started a new sermon series looking at the first half of Mark's gospel. And today we're going to look at a day in the life of Jesus. We're going to observe him on a typical day. We're going to watch what he does, the choices he makes. And in doing so, we will see his priorities. And today, if you feel the gap between the life that you want to live and the life you actually live, or if busyness is keeping you from what is truly important in life, then I think that these verses in Mark's gospel could be really helpful for you today. And for all of us, there is so much that we can learn about our own priorities, what they should be, from looking at Jesus. So if you do want to get a Bible, you might find it useful to have it open at Mark chapter 1 as we look at verses 16 to 45 in more detail. And again, that's on page 33 and 34 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Now, if you were to read this passage in the original Greek, you would notice that there is one word repeated throughout it. It's the word that means immediately. Immediately is in this passage over and over again. In fact, it's repeated so many times that most English translations of the Bible feel the need to add some variety into it. So they use at once or just then or as soon as to kind of add a bit of variety into it. I remember writing English essays in primary school, and the teacher said, never use the same word in two lines at once. But Mark ignored that, and he uses the word immediately over and over again, 9 times in the original. And it's one of Mark's favorite words because it matches his quick and action-focused style of writing. But that repetitive word, immediately, that could be used to describe our modern world, couldn't it? Over the last few years, we've moved from one crisis immediately on to the next. Just as the crisis of the pandemic ends, the cost of living crisis begins immediately. We live hurried lives. As soon as I finished that, I've got to immediately start on this. There was a time not too long ago, if you wanted to send a message to someone, you had to write it on a piece of paper and put it in the post, and it would take days to get there. And a response could take weeks. But now with text and email, it's delivered immediately, and we feel the pressure. As soon as that little beep goes on our phone, I've got to look at it immediately. I've got to respond immediately. If we want to buy something, we go online and it is delivered immediately. If we have a question, we Google it and we get the answer immediately. If we get bored, we just take out our phone and we entertain ourselves immediately. And in some ways, that immediacy has done great things to help us as a society. But on the other side, we are in a constant state of urgency and hurry, which can leave us feeling tired, stressed, and anxious. But what are some of the things that we see happening immediately in these episodes from Jesus' life? Well, in verse 18, we see Jesus invites Peter and Andrew to follow him, and immediately they leave their nets and follow him. And in verse 20, Jesus sees James and John, and he immediately calls them to be his disciples too. In verse 21, they immediately go to worship God on the Sabbath day. When Peter's mother-in-law is sick, they immediately tell Jesus about it in verse 30. And in verse 42, when Jesus touches the leper, he is healed immediately. The things that Jesus does immediately are perfectly aligned with his character and his priorities. And it brings peace, healing, and the love of God to those that are around him. Jesus called those first disciples by simply saying, "Follow me." And it was an invitation to know him, to live life with him, and to learn from him. And through the Spirit-filled pages of scriptures, Jesus invites us to follow him this morning. So I want us to pick up this story at verse 32 as we look together at Jesus' priorities. Jesus had spent that morning preaching in the synagogue, and he had astonished everyone because he taught with authority. Then immediately afterwards, a man with an unclean spirit cries out to him, and Jesus, again showing his authority, commands the unclean spirit to come out of him. This amazes the people even more, and they say amongst themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame begins to spread throughout that region. And so that evening, at sunset, as the Sabbath day ends, Jesus is at Peter's house with Andrew, James, and John. And Peter's mother-in-law, who had just been healed of a fever, is making them a tasty supper, which they are enjoying together. And let's imagine that as they eat, there is a knock at the door. And Peter goes to the door to answer it. It's one of his neighbors who has been sick. And he asks, "Is Jesus there? Would he be able to heal me?" And Peter brings him in, and as Jesus is healing him, there is another knock at the door. It's somebody from the synagogue whose wife has a disease that no one can treat, and they ask, "Is Jesus there? Do you think he'd be able to heal my wife?" And Peter again invites them in, but as he does so, he starts to see this large crowd coming down the street, approaching his house. Hundreds of people are gathering at his door, bringing the sick and demon-oppressed to be healed by Jesus. And Jesus, in late into the night, is healing people and casting out demons. Then the next morning, Peter wakes up again to more knocking at the door. It's still early, but already there is a queue of people outside wanting to be healed, wanting to see Jesus. So Peter goes to get Jesus. It's going to be another long and busy day. There is just so much to do, so many people that need to be helped. But Jesus isn't there. Peter asks his brother, but he hasn't seen him. James and John don't know where he is either. Maybe he's gotten up early, maybe he's already gone to get the coffee and the bagels, but no, they can't find him anywhere. Everyone goes out searching for him, but no one can find him. Jesus is missing. Eventually, Peter and the other disciples make their way out of the town, out into the wilderness, and there they find Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 explains what happened. It says, "In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed." Prayer is a priority for Jesus. There seemed to be so many things on Jesus' to-do list, all marked urgent. But first, Jesus takes time to go and pray. He went and got away from the distractions. He went to a place where it was just him and his Heavenly Father so he could talk with him, so that he could sit silence in his presence, and so that he could listen to him. We see in the verses before that Jesus had an amazing power and ability. Yet Jesus' dependence was not on his own strength, but his dependence was on what he received from being in the presence of the Father. Prayer is a priority for Jesus. And he invites us to follow him and to live by that example that he set. And to be honest with you, I find this so challenging, but also so inspiring. If Jesus was not too busy to pray, then there's no way that I am. If Jesus needed to pray, then I definitely do. And if Jesus longed to be in the presence of the Father, how much more should I long to experience the peace and love of God in my life through prayer? Peter, after they find him, then says, "Everyone is looking for you. We need to go back straight away." But Jesus replies in verse 38, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And we might find that really surprising. Jesus doesn't go back to Capernaum. He doesn't go back to the crowds of people waiting to be healed by him in that town. Instead, he moves on to other places so that he can preach there. Preaching was a priority of Jesus. Actually, he says that was the purpose of his ministry. It's why he came into this world. Now, that's not because he doesn't care about the sick people in the first town, but because his love is for all the people of the whole world. He didn't come just to heal some people in one town from some of their diseases, but Jesus Christ came to save the entire world throughout all of time from every disease and from all sickness in his eternal kingdom. He came not to cast out some demons, but to destroy all evil forever. And so he needed to preach and to teach and to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near, because it is through hearing the word of Christ with faith that we can be saved. Preaching the gospel was a priority to Jesus. So hearing the gospel and reading in the Bible what he taught should be a priority for us too as his followers. So very simply, if we want to follow Jesus' example in these verses, then we need to make prayer and listening and reading and the listening and the reading of God's word a priority in our life. And we need to see also that the fruit in the life of Jesus that it produced because those were his priorities. See, Jesus' commitment to prayer made a difference. He literally had the task of saving the entire world, but yet he was never too busy to stop and help a person in need. He didn't hurry through life, feeling anxious and stressed about everything he had to do. He was always calm and at peace. And I wonder if that had something to do with his dedication to prayer. And in 3 short years, he impacted this world for good more than anyone else who ever lived. Through his preaching and teaching and by his death and resurrection, billions and billions of people will know the eternal and perfect love of God and will live forever with him in the place that he has prepared for them, where there is no more sickness or pain or sorrow or death. See, when we prioritize prayer and reading the Bible, two things will start to happen. First, when we prioritize the Word of God in our lives by reading some verses of the Bible every day and by coming to church to hear it explained and applied, our other priorities in life start to conform to the heart of God. What's important to Him becomes important to us. And secondly, through spending time with God in prayer and through the gift of His Holy Spirit, we will actually be able to live our lives according to those priorities. Prayer closes that gap between how we know we should live and how we actually live. As most of you will know, we had tragedy in our family a few weeks ago. And with everything that has happened, it has focused my mind on my own priorities. We go through life always thinking that we will have more time and we can leave the important things to later. But tomorrow is not guaranteed. God, in His grace, has called me to follow Him and to be a preacher for Him. And I pray that I will continue to have the opportunity to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ for many years to come. But say that if this was to be my last sermon for whatever reason, that if I was to never to preach again, then I would be comforted to know that I preached about something important. Because prayer is important. Because the words of Christ are important. And if the Spirit was to use my words to encourage even one person into a daily habit of prayer and reading the Bible, then I would feel content that my life had had a purpose. Prayer and the Bible, these are important things. These are real, eternal priorities. Today, Jesus says to you, follow me. Follow me into a deeper life of prayer. Come and listen to my amazing words of life. Let us not delay, but let us respond to His grace immediately. I want us to be quiet for just a moment. Part of the reason that Jesus went out into the solitary places to pray was so that He could be silent before God. So let's just take a moment to be still in the presence of God, and then I'll lead us in a short prayer of response. Father God, we thank You that we are Your priority. Thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus into this world to be our Savior. Lord, we are sorry for all the times that we don't make obeying You our priority, and instead we hurry after the things of less importance. Please forgive us. Send Your Holy Spirit to help us to follow the example of Christ's priorities. And please give us the grace, the discipline, and the desire to continue in or begin good daily habits of spending time with You. Lord Jesus, our hearts have heard You say, seek My face. And our hearts respond, Your face, Lord, we will seek. In Your name and for Your glory, we pray. Amen.